Welcome, welcome, welcome to the latest edition of The Fast Break. I am your host, Blake Rogers. It's been since 2012, the last time Frank Ocean made an album. That album, of course, was Channel Orange. Nominated and won a Grammy. And ever since that, our boy Frank has been on straight hiatus mode. You know, he had the Frank Ocean Twitter jokes when he's coming back. He became a myth, like an urban legend at some point. But then on August 20th, 2016, Frank Ocean dropped Blonde. Originally, you know, it was rumored that the second album was going to be called Boys Don't Cry. And then once they found out Blonde released, the internet went crazy, just crazy. Was the album worth the hype? Well, we're going to dive into it right now. So without further ado, the Frank Ocean album review, Blonde. So we start with the opening track, Nikes. The beat was incredible. Love the Alvin and the Chipmunk type of auto-tune effect. A lot of great verses, a lot of great metaphors. Rest in peace, Trayvon. He looks just like me. That's an interesting line. Took me a while to listen to the rest of the album because this song was on repeat constantly. The line that brought my attention the most, and there's so many metaphors and clever puns in this one song, like, I kid you not, when this album first came out, all I listened to was Nikes. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Like, there was nothing else. Like, it took me a while to get through everything. My favorite line, of course, she says she needs a ring like Carmelo. Best line. Best line. You know, as we all know, Carmelo has been searching for that ring. He does have a college national championship under his belt. People seem to forget that. But Carmelo is definitely searching for that ring. And I think that's pretty dope that, you know, Frank can include that. You know, yeah, I'm into sports too, guys. So I thought that was cool. And this definitely sets the tone for the whole album. I talk about tone all the time. What album set the tone? And this album set the tone. Not in the greatest way. Not in a bad way. But it set the tone. And I'll get on to that, the tone that he set moving forward. Now on to the next song. Ivy. One of my least favorite songs off the track. And it was so disappointing. I know some people like it. It was disappointing for me to have such a great song like Nikes, like a strong opener. It's essentially like coming out strong in the first quarter, then second quarter you just whiff. And I think Ivy was just a whiff. It just wasn't for me. I felt the beat overpowered Frank's voice. Wasn't the greatest mix. Loved the reminiscing that he had in the song, but as a sound of production, I just couldn't get into it. But now we get consistency back up and we get Pink Plus White. I love this song. I think Pink Plus White was really creative. I love it because the beat was so smooth. Felt like it was a continuation from the song White, from the Odd Future tape volume 2. If you're like a big OF fan, you know that White was a pretty dope track that Frank Ocean was on. I feel like I'm in paradise while I listen to the song. But when you listen to the lyrics, he's actually talking about chaos. Hurricanes, death, and kids jumping off the roof. I like songs like this because you have to listen to get the message. Sort of like For Sale from Kendrick's To Pimp a Butterfly. You know, the beat sounds so nice, you're drawn in. Then the lyrics, he's talking about selling his soul. Deep. So deep. So I like that, you know, you might trick into like such a soothing sound. Just the lyrics, it's pretty dark. Now if you go to Be Yourself, this was confusing. And this album is so confusing. It's a literal definition of a roller coaster. Be Yourself, I couldn't tell if he was mocking his mom or embracing his mom. Because Frank does the smoking and drinking. Like I said, I'm not the biggest Frank fan, but she sounded like a strict mom, but a concerned parent looking out for her own. You know, she was like, you know, don't do this, don't do drugs, don't do alcohol. People have died from this, which, you know, true facts. I think she's just looking out for her baby boy. So I'm gonna have to say that Frank was embracing the more I reflect on that track. Solo. Hear me dancing, da 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 da. I'm riding solo. Wow. The organ was nice. Felt like I was back in church. The organ was nice. His tone was perfect. The breakdowns, something Drake and Frank and Tyler the Creator are all good at, are breaking beats down, adding another layer to it. Travis Scott as well. It's like a song within a song. Frank vocals are simply amazing. He doesn't make hits. He makes beautiful music. I think anybody nowadays can make a hit, but make something that's going to last forever. And I think Solo is one of those songs that will last forever, and you can appreciate that and always reflect on that. Thing about Frank, he can spit too. Frank has bars. Frank can rap. Don't let that fool you. Frank can rap. Like this is a Chance the Rapper inspired track. I'm telling you, that mixed hip hop with that old school gospel is a recipe for success and definitely a hit right now in pop culture. Ultralight Beam changed it, man. I'm gonna keep preaching that and saying that Ultralight Beam has created so many more tracks that we haven't even heard yet. A lot of people have tried the church and the hip hop mix. Either it comes out corny or doesn't come authentic, but people are starting to master that sound, so that's dope. Now, Skyline 2. This song is one of my favorites as well. I know it didn't sound as kind of, but one of my favorites as well. This is one of my favorites. I don't know if it's one of my favorites. I know I kind of contradicted myself, but it's not one of my favorites. I respect it. It takes a while to build up. Like, once you listen to Skyline 2, you're in the mood for it. Like, I had that song on repeat as well multiple times. And then sometimes you just want to skip and be like, you know, Skyline 2. Yeah. The more I listen to this album, the more kind of depressing it got. Like, Frank was just in his feels. I'm all about the feels, but he got way too feelsy. But back to Skyline 2. Nice melodies, just like Pink Plus White. Love the line, summer is not as long as it used to be. Which, it's true. It seems like summer ends sooner and sooner every year. Like I said, it's definitely a feels track. I love the talk, you know, the half, you know, effort rapping they put into it, kind of like spoken word. The verse in Skyline 2 reminds me of his verse in Analog from Tyler Creator's album Goblin. So I thought that was cool. Now, Self-Control. You have the guitar string. This is definitely a mix of seduction, of heartbreak. Put those two together, a little seduction, heartbreak together. This is definitely the side piece anthem. Yeah, you dating that dude, but keep your place for me. I know you'll always have feelings for me. And when we finally meet each other, we're gonna lose our self-control. I'll sleep between y'all. It don't mean a thing. It's nothing. It's nothing. Wow. And I'm gonna be honest, I skipped this track a lot. But the more I break down the lyrics and listen to it, it's nice. It's nice. It has a good echo effect. At the end, it was kind of obnoxious. Wasn't a fan of the whole song, but it is nice. I see myself bobbing my head, you know, to it occasionally. And the thing of this album is real inconsistent. Like I said, when we as people, when we first hear something, we hear the hype, we overhype it. About a month now since it came out, now we have time to digest it, process it, and let the hype die down. Now we move on to the next track, Good Guy. In the beginning, he's talking about the first date he went with a guy at the gay bar. And then at the end, it switches up to like a guy saying, I know all the girls that want to go with you right now. They always mess with me. So it literally shows that bisexual type of line. I know Frank never flat out said he was bisexual. All he said was he loved the man before. But for me, I personally took away, okay, in the beginning you're talking about going to the gay bar. Now you got a line saying all these girls wants to hook up with me right now. So to me, my musical, you know, opinion on that track is that it's just a split personality. Just like the split of the you know, that side and the other side. That's what I took away from that. Now we move to Nights. From the jump, this sounds like a Miguel-inspired track. The upbeat tempo. This album does a lot of heartbreak. If you haven't noticed, But at the end, it converted to like a Travis Scott type of song with auto-tune, which I thought was dope. This song genuinely had three parts to it, and the third part sounded like The Weeknd. Dude replicated three artists so well and still carried his own swag and style to it, which is nice because most albums lose steam halfway through the album. They throw homework on the opening tracks, such as Nikes, but the more the album progresses, you lose steam, and quite frankly, it becomes less entertaining. And Nights definitely picked the steam back up. Then we get to Solo Reprise. Andre 3K. Love him. On features, he's an OG, and his feature on this is phenomenal. Just phenomenal. He just went in from the first verse, and there was no going back. If I had one little irking with this interlude, is that I didn't feel like the beat change was necessary to go all dubsteppy, and you know, I think that wasn't necessary. I like the piano on the organ, just keep it simple, keep it basic. But you know, nonetheless, Andre 3000 still did his thing. There were thoughts, you know, around the community saying, was he throwing shots at Ghost Riders? Kid Cudi just came out, you know, throwing shots at Drake and Kanye, which I'll make an album. Make an album about Drake and Kid Cudi dissing each other. No, I'll make a podcast on that and my thoughts on that whole situation. Definitely have some opinionated views on that. But back to Andre 3K, you know, the verse was, I was under the impression that everybody wrote their own verses and it hurts me. Was I working way too hard? And like I said, I'm a huge fan of Drake, and I don't think he was throwing shots at Drake because they made the real her together. I think he was just saying, you know, in general, the community of hip-hop, people fail to understand is that, you know, ghostwriting has always existed. There's always been writers credited on songs. This is nothing new. This is nothing new. And I will dive more into that in that Kid Cudi podcast. Now, we move to Facebook story. This is great. It's great because it shows the influence social media has on our lives. It frankly does. Here you have a guy that's been dating this girl for years. Then Facebook comes out. Everybody's going crazy. The girl asked the guy, add me on Facebook. Why would I add you on Facebook? I'm with you right now. We're friends right now. Why would I add you on Facebook? The girl starts getting upset. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? It's either add me on Facebook or in the relationship. And the guy's just puzzled. Like, what? And, you know, some guys will manipulate it and be like, you know, I don't want to, you know, post you on Facebook or social media like that. We don't need that. Just because the sake of them cheating. But with this, it was genuine. You can tell in his tone. And I thought his accent was pretty cool, too. So I thought Facebook story was definitely nice. Definitely get a different perspective of how social media, you know, has a huge grip on our lives now. Then, Close to You. The snare drum is always so nice with the echo and the auto-tune. Just another Frank Ocean successful interlude. Kind of like a blues type of thing. No, I just wish it was longer. I really wish Close to You was longer. Now we get the White Ferrari. You know how I said the album start losing steam at the end? Well, you know, White Ferrari was a product of that. It got too feelsy. It's got so repetitive. The song just got so depressing and dark, folks. I couldn't do it. I mean, I like feels, but to a point, just please. I'm not trying to be like that all the time. So this White Ferrari definitely got way, way too repetitive. Started losing steam, and I just couldn't do it. It was just too dark. Not even like it. It's just like, we get it, Frank. Relationship problems. The thing with this album, it was like, he's talking about a different girl. I may be a different person in all these songs. And just got like, really, Frank? Like, really, man? Heartbreak. And I just lost steam. Now we move to Siegfried. Siegfried is actually a German made name given that stands for victory and peace. Now, this song is chill. It had a John Mayer elements. This song definitely sounds something off of Channel Orange. I like the small echoes he put in place. He puts in that nice Frank Ocean type of sound, if you will. I like the message in this song, too. You have to be brave to settle down and have a family. Because when you do, it's not about you anymore. You can't look out for yourself anymore. It's not about you. So this song definitely has some nice meaning to it. And then towards the end, it had that old school Disney movie orchestrated to it. Like a little orchestra, old Disney movie. It definitely had that type of vibrato to it. Godspeed, my friend. Godspeed is one of my favorite sayings. The problem that I have with this album is that all the songs are starting to sound the same. And this was the case with Godspeed. The songs started to lose their identity. Each song didn't have its own identity, which is hard to do as an album. You know, it's hard to have so many songs and each had its own place. But man, things just started becoming like a collage. Like, was this Godspeed or was that, you know, White Ferrari or was that something else? It's just like, it got way too confusing and I can't tell the difference of what tracks actually are. The thing like with, you know, great albums, you know, okay, that's such and such. That has its own sound. It doesn't like blob together. And this was the problem with Frank's album. Futura Free, if I said that right. The ending track is nice because it relates to everyday problems. Like, these celebrities weren't famous all of a sudden. They had to work just like everyone else. And he brings up the story about working crappy shifts, making minimum pay, feeling so big, but yet so little at the same time. Yeah, I'm dope, but I still got a minimum job. I'm not fulfilling my lifestyle, what I want. What I like about this is that, you know, he deals with haters, but yeah, he deals with people that embrace him. And I like how he brought up the Tyler, the Creator, how they was just way back, you know, and really the come up story. He dropped Tyler in there and they always been cool. Then he had the line Ye said, I better act my net worth, because you know Ye is known for being Ye. He's just out there sometimes. Majority of the time, still love you, Ye. And you got Frank, just this humble dude, laid back, you know, he could be dropping music whenever he wants. But he's just like real chill. And then you have the other end, you know, the long dramatic pause. And then you got the whole, I don't know if that was Taco from My Future. Somebody just asking like kids and a bunch of people like random questions towards the end. Shouting and, you know. And the thing with this, I can picture like the J. Cole in the 2014 Forest Hills Drive. I like Cole's ending better because Cole is just like genuine happy. Like, yo, thank you for everybody for help put me on. I wouldn't be here without you. So he shouted literally everybody out. Everybody. And I thought that was cool. With this, I thought Frank just got too cutesy with it. I'm trying to like a deep lyrical background meaning. And to me, I just find myself listening in static for the last 4 minutes of that. So I was not a fan of that huge ending with the talking. It just wasn't good to me. Overall, I give the album a 7.5. Great albums have great replay value. And the replay value for this album was just low. It had hot momentum, you know, like I said, it's been since 2012, since Frank made a new album. This is hugely different from Channel Orange. Some songs are really great, some songs are mediocre, and some songs I just skipped and didn't think about it twice. And I think that's the same with all albums, but there was just no consistency for me. It has some good elements to it, and Frank is still talented, and I wish nothing for the best, you know, for him in his future. This kind of reminds me of the Kendrick Lamar situation, where his first album was so good and then it put him on the map, and then you take this long hiatus and the second album was either a masterpiece to some people or it didn't fill the expectations for long waiting fans. Either way, Frank, keep doing you, and I thank you for the album. And as always, thank you for listening to The Fast Break. I am your host, Blake Rogers. Like I said, I had that Kid Cudi, Drake, and Kanye fiasco going on. I'll definitely make a podcast on that in the future. And I know I've been teasing the Ray Shrimmer album review. I'll definitely get to that. Trust me. As always, check us out on Blog Talk Radio and AlmightyBaller.com for the latest NBA updates as well. 41 days until the opening season kicks off. So definitely check out the podcast. And we also have fantasy football projections as that as well. So check us out on Blog Talk Radio and AlmightyBaller.com. And thank you for listening to the Fast Break. I am your host, Blake Rogers. Stay lit.